Hot Tackler, episode 256, E3 2011, part 2, for June 10th, 2011. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. As we said last time, we are doing part 2 of E3 for 2011 this time around. So if you haven't listened to the first part yet, I suggest you go back and listen to episode 255. And from last time, we have Keith and Brent to wrap up the show. How's it going, guys?
Going good.
Great. Doing great.
That's good.
Got a one-up, right?
Yep.
They're great. Not just kidding. Anyways, so we talked about the Microsoft press conference a lot last time, and we hinted on a good amount of Nintendo stuff, and I don't even know if we touched on any of the Sony press conference, but we are here to wrap up everything else that happened during E3, so the Sony press conference, the Nintendo press conference, as well as the Ubisoft and EA press conferences, if either one of the other hosts in here watched them, because I know I didn't. And I know there's one key part from the Ubisoft one that everyone is dying to let out in the room right now, so I'll let that come out when it comes out. So, I guess before we get into the bulk of this show, there's been some of these rumors going around with people trying to figure out what the best press conference was, and granted, from my opinion, none of the press conferences that I watched were really spectacular or anything. So what are your guys' opinions on all the press conferences? Do you think one kind of really outdid the other, any other ones particular, or were they all just kind of mediocre, or what your guys' takes on the press conferences this year compared to other years?
Anybody want to take that one?
I don't know. I was just waiting.
It's one of you two.
I definitely think that Nintendo had the best conference this year. But I mean, of course they did, because they were the one company that announced their new console, their new, next generation hardware.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't it the one, like, they're usually big E3 shows when it's a hardware. When they're showing something like that off. Software is not as exciting. So, yeah. Exactly. Nintendo's gonna, no matter what, probably be the most exciting. Right? I mean, every time we've had the other ones, you know, PS3, Xbox 360, those things were big shows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Wii
was a big deal.
The Nintendo one was... The presentation for the Wii U was very unintuitive, in my opinion.
Well, explain that. Like, what do you mean by unintuitive?
When they showed off the Wii U, and that was basically a controller with a screen, like, stuck in the middle of it, I thought it was an addition to the Wii. I didn't know it was a different console until I actually went up and looked up a news article on joystick and found that, oh, it's actually a separate console, and that's just a peripheral for the new console.
I think they fessed up to that, that they presented it wrong with the, in, you know, because that was, you're not the only one who was confused about that. You know, everyone thought. They thought it was just another controller for the Wii. But I think they fessed up to that, said that we kind of didn't explain it right.
Yeah.
How long were you sitting there? They didn't even show you like a big picture of the console.
No.
It was always in the background. I looked at the pictures and it looked like, it looks like the other Wii. So.
Well, I didn't even see the console throughout the presentation. I just saw the.
You know
the
what it is?
Pad there. I didn't see the console at all until I went and like went to Nintendo's site and then saw the pictures of it. It's like, oh, it's new. Look at the dimensions. Oh, it's the size of an Xbox. So...
Is it really?
Yeah, it's... From the dimensions, it looks like it's just about the same size as a 360S, or maybe a little bit smaller.
Actually,
maybe a
big.
Tad bit smaller.
Nintendo's, you know, they focused on the controller because that's what it all it was. They don't focus on specs. They don't like to talk about them. So
yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how many cores they actually have, and like some of the other internal specs.
Well, it sounds like they turned it loose.
Like from a PC standpoint, if it was a computer, I want the specs that you would get normally with a PC, like the amount of RAM, the type of video processor, the clock speed for the CPU and the video card, yada yada yada.
Yeah, you want to tear that thing apart.
And those details, I don't think they're out there anywhere yet.
You want it now too.
They might be, but I don't think they are.
No, they Nintendo's usually hush hush on the specs. They don't like to.
But thankfully, it's HD this time. But no backwards compatibility with GameCube.
No.
Brent, feel free to start on your rant anytime during this, because it seems like we're into the Wii U discussion now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of something to talk about. I'm just worried that, like, 3 or 4 years from now, when Microsoft and Sony end up, you know, announcing their new consoles and eventually releasing them, that, like, the Wii U is going to be completely obsolete. Like, developers are going to start developing for the, you know, the PS4 and the Xbox 720 or whatever. And right. Those machines are probably going to be more powerful than the Wii U. So, I mean, yeah, the Wii U
Nintendo's
does HD.
Just behind now.
Yeah, Wii U is going to be able to do HD, but it's not going to be able to to perform as well as Xbox and PlayStation's system.
I mean, from what I'm seeing, Nintendo is good at coming up with new ideas to integrate into consoles. Like the Wiimotes and the Nunchucks pushed Microsoft and Sony to do for Microsoft the Kinect, and then for PlayStation the PS Move. I mean, that was pretty much the pushing point for that. And now they have this extra peripheral where it's the screen in the joypad, and you can go from you have like a secondary screen on there. So
yeah, they're definitely
innovating on, I guess, the hardware front to an extent.
Yeah,
and then Microsoft and Sony are picking them up, so they're definitely leading in a certain aspect of the console market. It's just that that innovation, I guess, is not really. I don't know. How do you describe it? You know what I'm saying, though, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're trying. How do you beat the Wii did so good? They're like, all right, we got to come out with another console. How are we going to beat the Wii? You know, we can't. You know, the motion control did pretty good for them. How do you go beyond that? You know, so is this a natural evolution to this thing that also is a Wii control, but it's a big screen? Or, I mean. How do you top the Wii? I think they had to be going through their heads, you know?
I mean, once I figured out what it was, it sounded kind of cool.
Yeah.
It does sound kind of cool. I think it actually, you know what, there's a video out there.
There's
a Ghost Recon game being played on it. You know, the map's in front of you or something like that. You see, you know, up on the big screen is, you know, the regular view you always see. Lots of changing of things, airstrikes and stuff like that. I don't know. That screen on the controller could be pretty cool.
I mean, just think of a first-person shooter. You can, if you were standing up, you could turn all the way around and use your reticle. That's even more engaging than the Kinect and the PlayStation Move.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, right.
Like interactive gaming should be like. You still have a controller. But you have the portable screen, and you can move around. And you have that freedom.
Yep. It's. I definitely, you know, we were talking about the Kinect last night. The Kinect, we were telling them to innovate with that thing.
And Nintendo's innovating, though.
Yeah, they are innovating, but you know what? A controller is still. Controllers still rule.
Remember controller. I don't get the. I don't see how Microsoft cannot get through their heads that you need to have a controller to play a game well.
No, but you can also, like I was saying, you can also have the Kinect too, but you got to try to innovate.
Yeah, you have to integrate both.
Yeah. But the controllers rule, and that I ain't lying.
I mean, controllers.
Controller looks awesome.
Yeah, controllers are precision and instant response to your commands.
It's got a gyro thing in it. It's got everything like the iPhone has. Like you could turn it. It's got tilt and all that. The gyroscope and even location, I think, or something. It's got everything that the latest technology. So that's probably. I think that controller is going to be pretty sick. Hardware wise.
And I hate to say it, but from the Microsoft press demonstration, I don't see myself shooting a gun by holding my hand out.
Then doing jazz hands.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me.
Flashing your palm open.
That makes no sense to me. I mean, who came up with that idea to say, okay, close fist, you're not shooting. Open, you are shooting. That
I can't.
It just looks so awkward. Like he has he's holding one hand up, like in a fist, and then he's got the other hand that he's doing the jazz hand with.
Yeah.
And like he's turning around while he's looking at the screen, and moving his fist, and then when he's ready, he's and now the reticule's on the target, and then he flashes his hand, and it hits it. they're so proud of themselves.
Oh,
and I'm I don't want to play that.
Oh God.
When would I ever want to do that as opposed to...
When you see a bad guy running up to someone... I mean, the only time you see that is in Star Wars when someone's using the Force. I mean, really.
Yeah, but not even that awkward. Not he's crunched up, doing... I don't know.
Watch those videos of people playing Kinect. A lot of times it's painful.
I mean, Kinect is good for Just Dance. That's about it.
I'll give him that. That one's good.
That one's good.
Dance
like
Central.
I said, I think
not,
it has...
Not Just Dance. That's the Wii.
That's the Wii. But that one's
awesome. Or whatever Microsoft's... the Xbox One is.
Yeah, Dance Central.
Dance Central.
Central, that's it.
I think Kotaku had a... somebody had a one-on-one with the Star Wars one.
Yeah.
And they say it's awful.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
There's a lot of lag.
Yeah, that's one of the bad things about Kinect, though, is the reaction time with a Kinect compared to a controller sucks.
There's
controller,
no
instant, at the speed of light, the time it takes to go down the wire. That's all the delay you get.
No, but you know what? Maybe it's okay to have a little delay, but not when you have a lightsaber.
You'll never be able to do a first-person shooter with a Kinect. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, it's going to happen.
No, it's... Well, if it does...
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll try.
They'll try, but a successful SPS will not happen in Kinect.
Oh, it won't be.
It will, quote-unquote, work.
Yeah.
Oh, it might, work, it might function, but...
It'll work well enough to justify that $60 you'd slam down.
No,
just enough to avoid a lawsuit, you know?
No. I mean, that Star Wars thing, though.
Oh, you gotta read it.
I was thinking, okay, this Star Wars should be good. Once I saw how bad the delay was and how slow things were moving, and the robots were just need oil. It's why even bother?
Well, it's like that thing in video games where you're surrounded by multiple enemies, and for some reason, none of them attack you. They just wait to be attacked one by one.
Right. And they stay in the one place they're in.
Yeah. It happens in Assassin's Creed. It happens in just almost every game you can think of.
Can't script it any better. They don't do the AI.
I guess that's a good point. But still, the controls were slow.
To be honest, the first...
I want to be doing combos, six or seven different moves within a second. With the Kinect, one every second. And it's okay, waiting, okay, waiting.
It's almost like a turn-based.
I honestly do not get the popularity of Kinect, other than it's soccer moms.
It's
these dang soccer moms.
Now,
are messing
not
with the
right
market.
Now.
I mean, I see a good use of Kinect being with Windows 8 and doing some productivity stuff with, office applications, the whole Minority Report thing. Kinect is built for something like that. And, I mean, that's one of the comparisons that always gets brought up, but it's true. You have all the body tracking and identifying, and actually at the school I go to, there's a group of graduate students who's actually researching a mixed system using Kinect and RFID readers to have a huge Microsoft Surface kind of thing, and be able to actually have multiple users use the same desktop, and based on proximity and body attachments that you can get from Kinect views, you can actually restrict access to moving elements on the desktop. So there's very many useful applications in the desktop realm, but I just don't see it in the gaming realm.
Somebody read the Microsoft newsletter.
The what?
The Microsoft newsletter. Surface. You know a lot about it.
Know a lot about what?
The Surface and everything Microsoft product right now.
Oh, well, I mean, Microsoft Surface has been around for what?
Forever.
Now?
No, I'm trying to remember CES keynote.
Announced it recently. Yeah, you just sound like you just recently read a Microsoft thesis.
A thesis?
I don't know. I got nothing. Never mind.
Sure, I'll take credit for reading a thesis. Okay.
I got nothing. I was trying to recover there, but
the only reason I'd buy a Kinect, and I'll probably end up buying a Kinect, is for Windows 8. Yeah, Windows 8.
They'll have it.
So. Yeah, it's Windows 8 is supposed to come with native support for the Kinect.
Cool.
And there's the Kinect SDK. So.
Dude, the way that they see all these things that they're hacking it for, it's
yeah, but
pretty cool.
If you look
stuff.
At it, like that thing 90% of Kinect hacks are for PC. They're not games. Right. And like the Kinect Fun Labs thing is a tiny, tiny portion of all the Kinect hack stuff that's been going on.
It looked like this stuff is really powerful.
And it's like they're trying to misappropriate, the whole Kinect modding community is doing all of this for us. And it's like, no, that's not what's going on. It's you have maybe a few developers, some that you've probably talked to and asked if they could do something for the Xbox. And then they come and do something cool, okay. But the majority of the market of the Kinect modding community is PC development stuff, and that's where I think Kinect belongs. It should be a PC peripheral.
I want to be able to play Skyrim with jazz hands. They've got the dual wielding now. You know, I can slash in the air. It'll be great. I just can't go anywhere. I have to stand still. I'm just stuck in the starting area the whole time.
Okay, I think I've done my Kinect rant. I think it's time for Brent to do his Wii U rant.
Go.
Oh yeah, it's not a rant. It's probably going to be a love letter. I love the Wii U. I love
Well, go for it.
I'm a fan too.
I don't know where to start. The reason I love the Wii U so much is because it's when the Wii came out, they announced the motion controls, and that was the big deal. That was the big gimmick, you know. They promised that it was going to revolutionize gaming, and they showed all this crazy, you know, one-to-one stuff that, you know, it was crazy tech demo stuff at the time, and we believed it, but it turned out that we weren't really going to get that one-to-one stuff ever. But it kind of got better with the Wii Motion Plus. But, the stuff they promised with the Wii never really came to fruition. I never felt like the motion controls helped the gameplay at all.
I agree.
Whenever a new game would be released with motion controls, it was always to the detriment of the game. Having to waggle around.
Right, it was not the actual motion, too, that you're making. Shake the controller, and it does kicks.
Yeah, the motion controls were the worst part of Wii games. That was the part that I usually hated about the Wii.
Well, it's gimmicky.
Wii motion controller stuff, that was
Yeah, but with the Wii U, I can totally see the cool things that developers can do with the pad. There are a ton of cool gameplay concepts that you can do with having the map on there, having your inventory on the screen at all times. They showed the game where one person has access to a map on their screen and information on all the other players, and the other players, you know, have to play with Wiimotes because you can only have one pad attached to the console at one time or something like that.
Yeah, something
like that. But yeah, just I want developers to explore all of the cool things they can do with the Wii U pad. And I'm just worried that, like, they're going to find, like, one or two popular things and just stick with those things and never, like, keep innovating with it.
Right. So. Well, that is a chance of that. Nintendo took a big risk with this thing. You know what I mean? Like, kind of, it's the thing is, you know, the pad is so, like, it's there's so many possibilities. It could be something they really took a big jump with that everybody's got to catch up. And by the time we get an amazing game on it, it'll be a couple of years down the road.
I think at the next E3, they're going to announce a whole bunch of software for the Wii U.
They did release dates.
Yeah.
But I think with the 3DS,
they saw that you can't release
a console without software. Because people don't want to buy, you know, a console if there's nothing to play on it. They want something that they can enjoy while they're waiting for the next game to come out.
It's always been about the games. It still is. That hasn't changed.
So I think when the Wii U comes out, you're going to see at least one, you know, big title at launch. So I mean, maybe that's why they're waiting until Christmas of next year to come out with the Wii U.
Yeah, but you know what's also interesting is the target, not the target, but it looks like they're dedicating a large part of this console to hardcore gamers.
Yeah, it does.
That was the entire
focus. More so than the Kinect. A lot more so than the Kinect. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm more excited about this than I was for the Move, and I was more excited about the Move than the Kinect.
I was impressed with the Move and some games and stuff like that, but is that even selling well? I don't know. I don't do anything Sony. And I don't hate Sony. It's just...
I don't know selling points about the Move. I just think...
I really don't know anything about Sony.
From a personal standpoint, I think the Move's a lot better system than the Kinect, because you still actually have a controller in your hands.
Are they selling games with that thing?
They've got games, but like... They've got, like, Tiger Woods. Certain sports games work with it. I really can't think of any
any
games off the top of my head.
They're like, this is a great...
I mean, there's SOCOM 4.
Yeah.
Did Killzone 3 have Move support?
Yeah.
I mean, those are first-person shooters.
So, you know what? The Move is a Wii controller. In black.
Basically, with a big... ball on the top. Big, pretty, colorful ball.
Yeah, but it's like Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah.
Right.
With the camera tracking.
iToy?
Yeah, the iToy. So, I mean... It's definitely has a lot of potential, I think.
It does.
A lot more so than the other two companies right now. I mean, if developers managed to pull off some great stuff with this, then Nintendo is definitely going to be more up in the runnings for console sales.
See, you know what? A lot of people, the Wii was another risk when they did that. They jumped
full
onto that motion control. It was the entire controller. It was everything. It wasn't a spare on.
Another thing about Nintendo,
and it worked, so...
Yeah, another thing about Nintendo, though, is you don't get many new games. A lot of the stuff that you get is still just Nintendo titles that get rehashed for every new console that comes out. Like, every console has had a Zelda game, every console has had a Mario Adventure game, every console has had a Mario Kart game, and every console has had some kind of Pokemon game. Like, Nintendo uses a lot of the same franchises, and I mean, that's okay, they're all Nintendo products, but Nintendo needs to come out and start playing with the big boys, so to speak.
Well, that's
Nintendo is the big boy. Like, Nintendo is the biggest boy.
They are the big
like,
ones.
But I mean,
they haven't been until now, and the Wii U.
No, that's what I'm saying. They have been. They've been since like the 80s.
They
dominated.
They were then, but now
the NES was nationwide. And then they dominated all the way through the 90s with the Super Nintendo, and even with the Nintendo 64, they didn't go bankrupt. They still competed with the PlayStation.
No, but I mean,
like, that's the reason the GameCube exists.
I mean, I know Nintendo's like surviving as a company, but I mean, compared to like Microsoft and Sony, they're getting more attention and more console sales, and more people play them over Nintendo.
Right now, people are tired of the Wii because everybody has a Wii. It's the market is so saturated with Wiis that nobody else wants them, and people basically figured out the gimmick of the Wii. They figured out, hey, this motion stuff. They promised us this one-to-one gameplay, but we didn't get it. So, you know, we're not going to get fooled again until Wii U. So, basically, Nintendo has come up with the new gimmick, right? They've got the pad. You know, this is the new thing. It's not motion control, even though it has motion control, but that's not the big deal. The big deal now is that you have your own screen. It's a touch screen, right?
Touch screens are hot. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you can throw ninja stars.
So that's the big gimmick. So that's what's going to pull the people in. All right. Nintendo's perfect at this. Like, if Nintendo gets the price right, and I think they can, because I don't think that, like, the Wii U is going to be very powerful. It's HD.
What was
the
start price? $400?
They didn't announce it yet.
They didn't say anything about the price.
No, price is not out.
I think what they're going to do is they're going to wait. But if this thing isn't significantly more powerful than a 360 is right now, that thing could be really, really
cheap. Well, my roommate said there were rumors that it was more powerful than a PS3.
Well, even if it is, even if it's marginally more powerful than a PS3 now.
It's still next generation.
I can't imagine that it's going to cost very much to produce something like that today.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's going to mitigate the cost of, you know, whatever's on the touch screen. And it's not multi-touch. It's just single touch.
Yep.
Which is kind of a problem. I really wanted multi-touch.
Yeah, it would make sense. But I don't know. You got to hold it. And I'll press a button. I don't know. Who knows? We got to see what the applications are. You might not even need...
And, I mean, I guess they still have the potential to change it up because it's not being released until another year and a half. So, I mean, I guess there's still room for improvement.
Yeah. Usually the hardware specs won't change. It'll be software.
Well, I mean, the dual touch thing is software based.
Well, I wish devs would just like
Nintendo. It's both.
It's both.
Be like, look, Nintendo, if you're going to exist in the next generation when, you know, Xbox 720 and PS4 are out, this thing needs to at least have multi-touch. So, you know, up here. Get multi-touch on those pads.
Nintendo's never been, you know, like the PS, you know, like Sony poured in, like, let's just pour tons of power into this stuff, even though we don't even need it, because that's a spec war. Nintendo doesn't compete in those spec wars. They compete. They just like the gameplay is more important. But I mean, they eventually had to go the HD route. It just has to, because almost everything is now. So it's just they. This is their time to go. It's kind of. Is it late? I don't know. Not by Wii sales, but it's definitely not going to be. I don't expect some like 5-core Wii U. Special made chip in this thing. It's gonna be right, like Brent said. It's gonna be right on the border of just being powerful, more powerful than the previous generation.
Still a little shocked that it's not gonna be backwards compatible with GameCube games. That still surprises me a little bit.
Well, I guess that could be in correlation with what we're talking about with the power. I mean, it could be like
in the Wii. Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm talking about it.
That console would probably eat GameCube discs and shit shards.
And hopefully it plays DVDs.
Yeah.
Should play DVDs with how powerful it is. Heck, it might even be Blu-ray.
I hope it plays DVDs, dude, in 2012.
I know. Well, the Wii, man, that was...
DVDs.
I'll tell you, the Wii...
The fact that that might be an issue with the Wii is, like, telling of how backwards Nintendo is about some things.
I know.
Like, online
Well, that's
stuff,
the things they don't understand their audience, that kind of stuff.
I mean, PS3 and Xbox have just native DVD support. It's just one of those things, like, it's really not that much of an effort to go ahead and put an MPEG-2 chip in your motherboard. It costs pennies per console to put those in there. It's like, why not just go ahead and put it in there? It's like you go over to someone's house. Like, I know a lot of like college people have Wiis because they're cheap and usually there's games everyone can play on them. So it's like, oh, we have someone going to go rent a movie for like a small get-together or something, or a last-minute pizza party or something. Oh, I have a Wii. Oh, it doesn't play DVDs. Someone has to go run and get a DVD player or something. Or a laptop. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that's like, might as well just go ahead and put it in there. And yeah, I know it's not a big deal, but I'm just saying. I guess I shouldn't make it sound like such a big deal.
It kind of is. Well, from a tech standpoint, it's kind of surprising.
No-brainer to me.
Yeah, I mean...
We have a DVD drive in there. Why don't we let them play DVDs?
Nintendo's focus is definitely... I don't know if they're doing it completely on purpose from the rest of the industry, or they don't pay attention to that stuff. They don't pay attention to, like, you know, the graphics thing. They're really into...
They're more into the experience.
Yeah. They definitely have a different
philosophy. Oh, this looks really pretty.
Yeah. So, maybe they're capable, though. Let's see. But if anything...
Well, I hope so.
Well, you know, it is good to say. Believe me, I like the graphic experience. It's definitely immersive. Different art styles and stuff. But you know, you want to be wowed by the graphics. It's definitely more immersive. But it's not always necessary. It depends on the type of game, too. But are you expecting to see, like, Mario in, like, fully detailed graphics? You know, I mean, you know, showing, like...
It would look better on my HD screen instead of seeing blurred pixels.
Yeah, the button on his overalls, like, you can actually read the writing on the button. You know, do we need that? Is that what we need for Mario?
No, but I'm talking about, like when I play on my parents' TV at home, it's like, you can tell that it's blurring... a lot of pixels because it's standard def.
Yep. Oh yeah. And you know what?
I mean, just a sharper image would just make it look cleaner. I mean, yeah, we don't need it, but at least make it like look nice. I mean, it looks kind of like it's like, why am I playing this? It looks horrible. And that's only on a 32-inch TV. I can't imagine what it looks like on a 72-inch TV in standard def.
I just want games to evolve. I don't want to have this just sit. You know, the games that look like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it's got to evolve a bit. So, I hope Nintendo caught up, because I'll buy it. I'll be a buyer if they really stepped up their gaming.
You're buying if they're selling?
If they're selling, the next generation.
Star Trek, the next generation. Out the back of their car, bootleg.
If I can play Star Trek, the next generation TV show. On it, the TV service. Then I'll buy.
You can run uTorrent on your Wii U and pirate Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I mean, at least you'll be able to get Netflix HD.
Yeah, that's nice.
I like how Netflix came out as a disc that you had to download or have it in the machine in a week.
Actually, well, they finally had it actually downloaded.
Yes.
Initially, yeah, it was a disc.
It'd be funnier if you had to have, like, a new disc for each movie you watched. For, like, TV show.
You had to send it in.
Wait, you mean, like, just renting a DVD?
The rent of software for everyone. Terrible. Just terrible. But if you want to say what was the best E3, definitely not.
No. Not by a long shot.
Listen, this is coming from someone who does the Halo podcast, just like you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, we know how awesome that is, but from an E3 business standpoint, as far as if we're talking about the three, you know,
I mean, I'll say the
Nintendo fans too. I'm a Nintendo fan still. I'm not. I'll skip the Wii, but I'll come back.
I will say good. Like the schedule of the Microsoft press release. Yeah, that was spot on. The content, not so much.
You were ugly for a while,
help,
baby.
It doesn't help that 50 minutes of the conference was Kinect. It's like, oh, please. I just fast... I mean, there was only, like, 10 minutes of stuff that I actually wanted to watch, and the rest of it was just like, oh, it's Kinect.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Gears I don't care about, so I didn't watch that.
I like There's a whole bunch of software for Kinect that you don't care about.
Kids who are terrible.
I'm going to go back to like 2010 years ago and watch the Microsoft.
I wonder how much those kids got paid.
Or the announcement for Halo coming to the
end. You know how much their parents got paid? Yes.
That's how much they got paid. No, but I mean.
I could just see Major Nelson like walk up to one of the kids. Here's $10, kid. Go get a pretzel.
Oh, jeez.
I just love the kid being like, who are you and why are you famous?
Yeah.
You never heard of me? I'm famous on the internet.
I do podcasts. I have a blog. And I know stuff. And I give away stuff.
Give me strange looks when I wear my Podtacular shirt.
Yeah. I used to get strange looks when I would wear my Caboose t-shirt. Like right when, like during the first season of Red vs. Blue. It was either the first or the second. I had the Caboose -1 t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I know.
And I would wear that, and people wouldn't know what it was, so they would ask me, what does that mean? I'd be like, it's from a Halo series thing. And they'd be like, oh! And I had to quit wearing it because I got tired of like trying to explain it to people because it was always so awkward. Because if you don't care about video games, as most people that I encountered in high school were, you know,
yeah,
like it's even harder to try to explain to them the concept of machinima, right? So,
oh yeah,
my brother had a Griff t-shirt, the Griff one. I can't remember what the number was.
Yeah, the orange one
was like 3, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, the orange.
Yeah,
I've got a.
What was donut?
I have the
00 because he was a 00 donut, wasn't he?
Oh yeah.
What do I got? I got the
Sarge.
No, I got the says the black shirt says never wonder why we're here. It says that on the front.
I want to get the camping
shirt. And I wear that around and people like they say turn around. Is there an answer on your back? And there's no answer. It just says red versus blue.
Yeah.
And so I have to give them, like, I don't know, an answer. So I tell everybody, like, well, everybody's got to be something.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, people always, like, do you ever wonder why you're here? What? They think they have no idea it has to do with the cinema.
Like a joke.
They think
it's
I'm
actually
like,
a joke.
Yeah. So, like, and then I tell them, no, it's from this machinima. And they're like, what's machinima?
You mean you didn't understand my obscure internet reference?
Yes. Isn't that the point of it? It's from the internet. You know, that's what I should just say. It's from.
Well, if it's on the internet, it's not obscure.
Right.
It's just on the internet.
Dang it! Now I'm gonna do a Google search for what comes up when you type that in.
Type what in?
Why are we here?
Why are we here?
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt with Rooster Teeth. It'd probably come up first.
Wikipedia: meaning of life is first. Video results is red versus blue. That's the first one. Actual search result, not video.
Doesn't what is best come in up. Life? Let's see if Google can get this one.
So what happened during the Sony press conference? I don't remember anymore. That's how disappointing it was.
They introduced hardware too, didn't they? What they have?
What hardware? I don't think so.
Yeah, something.
They had the Vita.
The Vita, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
The PlayStation Vita. They're brand new, you know. Portable.
Yeah, that.
Next generation portable.
Yeah, whatever.
That's probably why I skipped over it, too. I'm not.
I don't know. There's cool things that you could do on that system, but like if you're not, I don't think anybody's gonna dedicate a whole lot of time for developing Vita games.
Like my roommate said, that was really a message to stockholders. That wasn't for gamers. That press conference.
Well, they need to show me some games for that thing to get me interested.
How powerful they say.
I don't know. I know that it has a back touchscreen, which is nice.
That.
You can like rub the back touchscreen. I can.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Oh, jeez. Why? Yeah. I don't. Yeah. There's nothing really memorable from that press conference.
Not really.
No. Not really.
Just don't get me excited. Don't blow up my mind.
Too late.
Nothing against them. You know what? There's probably some real cool games. I don't know nothing about it because it just doesn't get me going. I can't say anything bad about it because I don't know nothing about them. I really don't know much about Sony. I know they've been hacked recently, but that's really all I know. So. I know other stuff. I know they just started charging online.
You would think, though. I mean, I'm entering this whole debate thing, but you would think. With Sony holding on to that many accounts, they would properly secure their data. And they didn't. How does that happen?
I don't know.
What kind of a certification team comes in and certifies, oh, we're going to store all our passwords in plain text. Oh, we're going leave all of our customers' information out like that. Yeah.
Could you imagine the guy in charge and then the guy he's got to have run around, try to fix it? The guys, the team. Like, they should just make a movie surrounding those guys.
Man, I feel bad for Jack Tretton. Because all sorts of bad things happened to that guy. Like the PS3 price point.
Oh, yes.
Just all sorts of, like, poor E3 performances.
Come on, you know what? Sony's
like,
a lot of bad press.
The day that, like, they acknowledged the hacks, I imagine that Jack Tretton just went out and got wasted. He's like, oh, give up. I'm tired of it.
Got a lot of sake then.
I mean, the way they... That's just horrible security practice.
I heard they lost a lot of customers. They jumped the Xbox, actually.
Well, the Xbox was working.
It was... You gotta give credit to Xbox Live. Great service.
I mean, yeah, you pay for it too. You get what you pay for. Hello.
Yeah, I pay for
Halo.
I pay for Halo alone. Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, there's other games that we play too.
Well,
but
I mean, that's what I've done since Halo 2, though.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Okay, I'm not like you though. I never had Halo 2.
Yeah, but I'm saying that people have been paying for Xbox Live exclusively for Halo since Xbox Live started.
People are paying MMO prices the same as amount of Live, probably even more money per month to play things. I would have paid Halo, just say like Halo 2, I would have paid $50 for the year to play Halo online. Absolutely.
And you know you're getting like the good network connectivity with it because people are actually getting paid to make the service good and not...
At the time, it was the best multiplayer experience. It's definitely worth
yeah.
it. So,
I mean, I hear your horror stories about getting friend codes and like PSN IDs to go across games sometimes. Like, there, at least I've heard instances where there's really a lack of, I guess, community or social interactions on the PSN network. Right. Or maybe it was like that and it changed, but...
I like the sense of presence on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
You know?
I just want the blades back.
Have online.
That's all
presence.
I want. I just want the blades back.
Yeah.
Take away all the extra ad crap. Give me my blades.
Well, you're gonna keep the ads. I can guarantee that.
Yeah. Freaking ads. I figured if I pay for Xbox, I shouldn't have to have those freaking ads.
Yeah, that's messed up. If I pay for gold, no ads. That should be a given.
Absolutely. I should be able to say, absolutely. Like, I mean, I understand, like, some ads, like, give you information on stuff that might be out there. Yeah, that's cool. Like, I can, but, like, for all, I don't use any of the music stuff. I don't use any of the video marketplace. Can't I just disable those?
Like, you're not getting dedicated servers or anything.
Like, I want to be able to disable channels. Like, how you can disable, like, the welcome channel. I know you can do that. But that's the only channel. I wish you can disable other channels. Other than, like, core ones. But... And I'm not really too thrilled about the new Xbox update where it's going to be all the Kinect-like stuff. At least I'm not really looking forward to it. I want. I mean, the way it is now.
I'm going to be too busy playing Halo.
I've gotten used to it.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to be spending any time in the dashboard.
But see, that's why. I want just, like, a simplified dashboard, something that's lightweight, I don't have to worry about it, and, like, just...
I don't have to worry about it, I'll just boot right to the disk. Like, time for Halo. Like, it won't even show up on the dashboard.
Yep. I don't need much.
Dead air.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I know that you guys said on the last show that they were coming out with Reach maps. Like, it's going to be a separate disk and the maps and Halo.
Okay, so I don't know much about this.
The way, like, it's worded in everything I've read makes it sound like it's in, like, insular. Like, the experience is all contained within that game.
I'm not sure.
Like, I totally believe it. I don't know.
Because it would seem like it would make sense if it was like an ODST kind of thing, where you have the disc for Halo Anniversary, and then you have the disc for Reach Multiplayer. That makes sense. Now, does that mean there's not going to be any more new maps for Halo Reach? Because if they have a finalized multiplayer disc, then why bother making more maps that aren't going to be on the disc? So... I mean, I guess we might see one more map pack and then more map pack.
Here's what Joystick says.
In what? A month and a half? That's when that's coming out? That's when the 10th anniversary is, right?
Here's what Joystick says.
Or wait, is it no? Wait, when did the Halo 1 come out? Shoot. Yeah, it was September, right?
Let me check.
Because Bungie Day Bungie Day is 7/7.
November 15th, 2001.
Okay, yeah, it was in either November or... So we have 5 months. I honestly don't think they're going to have another map pack out, and if it is on this like a separate multiplayer disc like the Halo 3 one was, then these are probably going to be the final maps that we see for Reach.
I think so, yeah.
Joystick says that you can play the 7 maps in Halo CE, or you can you can also download the maps into Reach. But okay. Both ways, the maps are running in the Reach engine.
But
That we know for sure.
Yeah, but what's the point
of
running the
multiplayer? If you just have Halo CE, you can play those maps.
Okay, you wouldn't be able to play matchmaking.
Yeah, you would. But
no.
Just those maps. You would just be able to play in that one playlist.
Okay.
You know what?
That seems pointless.
I think we know how the maps are going to work. The delivery system, I don't think, is solidified yet. It was vague. It was talking about like just
very
ODST.
Vague.
Now ODST, it was actually hard for us to understand like the complete multiplayer experience on one disc. I still was confused until
it made sense to me.
Well, I just didn't understand how it was going to, you know, until you put the disc in, you know, so we just have the matchmaking menus right there and just all the things are there. And, you know, it's just weird. I think the way it markets, it doesn't, you know, I don't know.
I thought it was a good market strategy.
Well, no, I thought it was, having it all in one disc, especially, you know, you don't have to worry. That's great, and for Halo, that's good too, because, you know, at this point in the game's cycle, you know, multiplayer is just king. You just want that disc anyway.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's the LAN party maker right there.
Absolutely. So everything's all there. You don't have to worry about downloaded maps and stuff. It's a great thing. Yes. That's actually what we did at the LAN party that I was just at. We did mostly Reach, but you can, everybody brought that multiplayer disc just in case we needed it. We actually didn't even play any Halo. I don't know. I mean, wasn't the disc downloadable later?
Bungie even said that they were not ever going to release those last maps.
Yeah, they
and then that. They broke down and they did.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think they got pressured by Microsoft to do that.
Well, that was probably the plan all along, I think. Start.
Or they got pressured by Microsoft to do it.
Probably.
Wanted more monies.
Either way, it was Microsoft's plan from the start, maybe not Bungie's, but it was somebody's plan from the start.
It was Bungie's plan from the start to just have ODST as a separate download.
It was Microsoft's plan all along to leech off the success of Bungie and eventually just completely rip the original franchise out of Bungie's hands and claim it as its own.
Well, they did.
Which it's successfully done. So good job, Microsoft.
They did a great job. They did exactly what they
did. And see, now we get to benefit from the fruits of that endeavor.
I just hope it's worth it.
Let's be cool. Let's be cool until we see.
I'm not being mean. I'm just saying. This is like highway robbery. But we get to play a new Halo, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It really is. We love Bungie so much that it's very hard for us to trust anybody else. Really.
Yeah.
But every sign I see so far up until this point has been positive. I think they're making mostly
Not the Defiant map pack.
That made me
lose some hope in 343, actually.
I like 343.
I like 343. I like how they're trying to...
I appreciate how they're trying, but... Well, I mean, yeah, we've had her on the show.
How can you hate BS Angel, Dustin?
I don't hate BS Angel.
Listen, how can you hate Big Fun like David BS Ellis? His name is Big Fun, dude.
He's got an epic beard.
How can you hate Frankie? Well, yeah, hold actually, on. I think you do hate Frankie. Like, didn't you go on a rant about Frankie once?
If you hate Frankie, I'm going to send you another picture here. Then, I don't know if these are going through. Then you'll like him now. Look at this picture of Frankie.
Okay. Give me a sec.
See, I can't hate Frankie because I remember when Frankie wrote the weekly updates when Halo 2 came out.
Frankie's a twisted little puppy. I love him. I love him. I like him. I don't love him.
I mean, right now I'm really, I really don't feel good not having Bungie in control of Halo.
Listen, we would rather have that, but what do you think? You know, this is all we're gonna get. I mean, I mean
that's just how I feel about it right now.
That
may change.
Are you gonna enjoy Halo CE? Is it going to be fun for you to relive that classic?
Yeah, but I'm not sure about like Halo 4.
Well, what have you seen of Halo 4?
Halo CE. Like I mean, Bungie made it. Yeah, the only thing that we're getting is a graphics update.
I'm saying
not that much.
One more.
We don't know anything. We actually don't even know who's working on it. There could be developer fans. There could be developers you're fans of that are working on it. You have no idea.
I mean, it might be.
We're really going in blind on this. We're really
Valve is past judgment. You know?
We're not that spoiled by Bungie. Bungie's great, but
I hate to see Halo be taken out just for what seems like a moneymaker deal.
Well, here's the thing. We've never seen Halo any other way except for Bungie. Never mind Halo Wars. Okay, never mind that because it was an RTS.
We've seen the influence, and a
certain affinity was not, or the map pack was not. It's a map pack. Okay, we're talking about a full game.
But I mean, Microsoft pushing Bungie to do things like releasing. Like, trying to rush Halo 2 out.
Listen. Everybody's trying to make a buck.
And Halo 3, I'm sorry, it was the worst game out of all the Halo games, in my opinion.
And it's because they had, like, from what I've heard, they had to cut, make shortcuts in the storyline.
It's no.
I'm wrong, but
no, it's not. It's no. It's no secret that the pressure of being a studio under Microsoft, talk to Epic, talk to Bungie, it's tough. Those guys want full creative freedom. Imagine they put all the stuff they want in the game. They know it. They've said it. They publicly said it. But they understand it's a business. You know, it's. I wish, you know. The thing about, you know, Valve is great where they can get to do a lot of things they want to do, but sometimes they don't. You know, it's really, sometimes their hands are tied. Is it Microsoft's fault? No, that's just big business.
But does it have to be tied that tightly? I mean,
yeah, but Valve also owns the largest PC digital distribution platform available.
Yes,
they get to do cool things that other companies don't get to do.
And you know,
they have an extra revenue stream. Like,
but you know, all the developers just want to be this like that, but they need publishers.
And I think Bungie realizes that, and I think that's why they're getting into the MMO space.
Yeah.
Because think about it, Blizzard can fund their Diablo 3 and their StarCraft 2 because they make a whole bunch of money off of World of Warcraft, and they, you know, make that money every month.
Yep.
Like, you know, millions of people paying $15 a month.
The
server maintenance might be pretty expensive, but I can imagine they're still making money just like hand over fist, just like swimming in it.
Oh, please. It's,
like crazy.
It's automatic,
like,
too. Even Scrooge if they play McDuck. Or don't play.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Scrooge McDuck.
So maybe Bungie, they come out with their new MMO, right? And they start making a whole bunch of money, and they can fund their own games. They don't have to have a publisher anymore. Or they get bought out by Activision and they go the way of Blizzard.
That would be
it's whatever.
I know. That's, you know, their independence, it screams how much they wanted to be independent.
Yeah, but Blizzard was independent too.
Yeah.
You could argue that they can. I don't know how much creative control Blizzard
but that's
bought.
Exactly.
But you can tell that it was a different Blizzard after they got bought. You could just kind of tell.
Absolutely. But the reason why they sold is it's a business, man. That's
just, yeah, but it's just kind of like you get sad when you see somebody like sell out. Like, a game studio that had heart and like the system broke them down and they finally had to like sell out.
That's what happens when you get, man, you can't.
It's just depressing.
It is depressing.
I know it's a reality. It's just not a very fun reality to think about.
You know what? It happens all the freaking time, and that's why. This is not uncommon. It's something with cyclical that we go through, that we've been seeing all the time. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just like, you know what? You're gonna see big companies coming into franchises, tearing them apart, milking them to death, just. We've seen it. We know Halo is going to... I prepared myself a long time ago that Halo was going to be milked. So that's why I'm just like, yep, Microsoft's coming in. They'll take it. They'll do this. They'll do that and everything. But I'd rather not waste time getting obsessed about that and just play the video games and play for fun and maybe not even worry about stories where a canon is wrecked and stuff like that. There's no way with all these big corporations involved that you can have it perfect the way a fan wants it or, you know, even a majority of the fans want it. It just can't happen. It's just,
well,
you know,
my
just
hope.
Like Star Wars, you know, it's like, forget it. I can't, if I see another lightsaber, I'm going to. I'm so sick of Star Wars on everything.
My hope is that Halo means more to Microsoft than it meant to Bungie. Because if you think about it, Bungie has other franchises that it's known for. Like, Halo is its big game, but for Bungie, they also have Marathon, which was a big title. And Oni was okay. I mean, it wasn't huge, but...
Yeah,
I mean, they have other... And like... What's that other game they have that was like RTS style?
Myth.
Myth, there you go. They have other title, and now they're moving on to their next thing. But for Xbox, like, you know, the Master Chief is the iconic Xbox fictional character. Yep. Like, you think of Nintendo, you think of Mario and that whole
stuff. I mean, I just want to make sure that they're not writing the game and the story for them.
Yeah,
I want them to write a quality game.
Well, that's why, with Frank O'Connor on board, that's huge.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that maybe, like, maybe there is some sort of, like, spark of rationality up at Xbox, you know, that says, maybe we shouldn't mess with Halo too much, or, you know, because they could be messing Halo up way more than they have.
Yes, they
like
could,
easily. They could have decimated Halo by now. In the 10 years that they've had to completely just milk the shit out of Halo.
Give them enough time.
they've been pretty, you know.
That's a
they've
good
been,
point. Yeah.
They've shown a little restraint, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And 343,
well,
I think,
Mose
legitimately
was,
cares about Halo.
When Theater Mose was supposed to be
hired.
In Halo 2, and it
but
wasn't.
But it's just about funding. Is Microsoft going to give 343 the funding they need? That's the big question.
They will. They definitely
like,
will. The entertainment division's the only department making money for them. They definitely
yeah.
will.
I mean, in a world where Halo is declining in popularity, if Halo doesn't, you know,
they got lots
it
of
climbs
cash.
Significantly after Halo 4. What happens? Like, what if Halo 4 comes out and nobody cares? I mean,
Microsoft
I think,
will throw the same amount of money again and try again. They will totally do. They will not. They will keep trying with that, and it will succeed too. It won't.
I don't know.
I'm just saying because it's Microsoft. It's not, you know. Microsoft is still, it's still like got wads of cash sitting. So they're gonna throw. They won't give up on Chief for like cycles. They'll throw the same amount of money at it. No, you know, and if they lose, they won't lose. With the next generation console, you know, they're ahead with 360. They're in this definitely for the long run. I don't see them like you just said that the you know the Master Chief. If that's the iconic thing, look at Nintendo. They're gonna follow that same formula. They'll keep throwing money at Mario. They'll keep throwing money at the Chief.
I know, but I'm just saying they're ahead.
Yeah, but I don't want
mascots.
Them to necessarily just keep throwing money. I want them to like utilize money, just
you
not.
Want them to calm down. Calm down. Stop throwing money at the Chief. Nah, they will. It's coming. The flood is
I'm
coming.
I'm just excited. I'm excited for Halo Anniversary.
I'm
excited for the new maps.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for the new maps. But the Halo 4 stuff, eh.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen anything
right.
from Halo 4.
Well, right.
No, we don't know
nothing. We have seen nothing. You saw a cinematic trailer. That's all CG. That's not gameplay.
It's nothing.
That's a movie.
But, I mean, I'm still not, like...
And never mind.
That is literally...
That
to me, all that movie was like, oh... They can do
that
pretty,
is literally
they can do
judging
pretty graphics.
The book by its cover.
And you know what it really is? All it is actually just trying to tell you a little bit of the story. It's not about.
I didn't get much story off of it.
Is.
I didn't get any story off of it actually.
Well, they're really telling you is we're directly picking off right off from where Halo 3 ended. That's what they're telling. They're not telling you what's happening.
Yeah,
we pretty much knew all that.
If they just said there was going to be a Halo 4, I would have known that already. Heck, I could have probably even guessed that the planet was going to open up. And swallow the ship. I mean, that was a no-brainer.
Well, is that Onyx?
I mean, that's...
Is
that's...
it Marathon?
It's definitely not Marathon.
It can't be Onyx, because it's in a different galaxy. Unless Forerunners can teleport.
I'm still going with Onyx. I've been going with Onyx since I saw the legendary ending, and I'm still sticking with it. This,
yeah, I mean, there's
this that I saw...
I still haven't finished reading Onyx, so...
Oh, that'll give you a nice insight.
Oh no, for some reason I just have this gut feeling that with how much Microsoft is wanting to milk this thing, there's potential for this next trilogy to be just not entertaining at all.
Destiny is so negative.
Oh, I think you're going to be entertained.
Dustin.
I think you're going to buy it.
I want to think otherwise, but I just don't know.
You got to want to be entertained.
Is that not why you're here?
But, I mean...
Halo 3, but I loved Reach.
I liked Halo.
Well, maybe it's more like Reach and less like Halo 3.
Maybe.
Maybe it's a Kinect.
I'll be patient and wait and see, but
right now
my expectations aren't that high.
He wants Kinect Halo.
No, I do not. I do not want Halo to touch Kinect at all.
It's an on-rails shooter.
Oh no. Could you imagine?
You're in a Warthog the whole time. You're on the turret.
Could you imagine the Halo community would literally shit?
Oh, they'd all run out and buy Kinects.
That's part of the plan. That's the full plan. Going exactly the way they
play. See, if Microsoft did something like that, I would debate buying the game.
That's what I'm saying.
They haven't. Yeah.
Anyways. So, yeah, distraction from the E3 everything.
Well, that was about it, right? Like, there's nothing else interesting at E3.
Do you want to explain the do-do-do-do-do-do thing?
Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, the most entertaining part or the only interesting...
Oh, the best of E3. Well, everybody do the best of E3. All right, I'll do mine, which is that. My fellow podcaster, Brent, pointed us to a video yesterday of the Ubisoft keynote, I guess, for their software upcoming game.
Yeah, like game library stuff, yeah.
Okay. And it had a presenter on stage that clearly was not an employee of Ubisoft. Was filling in the void for probably somebody was sick, or it's just Ubisoft has nobody charismatic enough to be on stage.
Okay.
And it was, the guy was just totally motivational speaking type on there, and it was quite entertaining to get a really ridiculous thing out of all the business stuff that goes on at E3 that really doesn't matter. So I think anything that happens weird at E3 and not according to plan is the best entertainment, because all it is just one big show. That's why it's my favorite.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Going on record.
Well, I remember what Sony's conference was about. Sports games. Nothing but sports games. That's what the other half of Sony's show was. Which I could care less about, and I really don't understand in video game mode, but okay. I don't know, do you guys play any sports games?
Nope.
Do they make sense to you?
I would like, yeah, they do make sense. I definitely could see, especially football, they definitely got they were fun, definitely play with my buddies stuff, but if you invest in playing the NFL games and you have to buy a game every freaking year, that sucks.
It just seems like a glorified version of button mashing.
No.
You can get into it. I know people that like really get into it, and they can... It's not button mashing. They're doing stuff on purpose. Stuff that you would do in, like, a football game.
Okay.
Or stuff you would do in the game.
This is coming from nerdy old Brent. If it's in the game,
oh, wise Brent.
It's in the game.
I see what you did there.
Yes. I've played Tiger Woods PGA Tour demo on PSN.
I like golf games.
That's pretty fun. I remember playing Mario Golf on the GameCube. That was a fun game.
Yeah, I remember that.
I actually have one on the Sega Genesis.
Super Tecmo Bowl?
No. No.
I had golf for the Game Boy.
PGA Tour, I think it was, on the EA Sports. And it was EA.
Oh.
It was had a great golf game.
Mm.
It's like Lee Trevino's PGA Tour 93.
It was PGA Tour. It was PGA Tour. That was my...
I thought that was a great game.
So,
all in all the sports, all the news conferences sucked compared to previous years of E3.
No, Nintendo's was great. It, like, compared to last year's Nintendo press conference, this one was
Okay.
It was incredible.
Well, once you figured out what the heck Wii U was...
Well, they also, like, brought out a whole bunch of trailers. Like, I totally want a 3DS now. They brought out, like... They showed off Star Fox 64 3DS.
Yeah.
I've been waiting on that. See, but I love Star Fox 64.
I mean, if the 3D part actually worked with some...
You can turn it off. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Like, if I don't like it, I can totally just turn it off, and then that's just Star Fox 64, and that's totally fine with me. Like, Mario Kart 3DS. I love Mario Kart. I loved Mario Kart on the DS. I can imagine that Mario Kart 3DS is going to be pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else they showed. What else on 3DS? They announced Super Smash Bros. Is going to come out on 3DS.
Didn't they announce something
Kid Icarus or something like that?
Too? Yeah.
Didn't they also announce something where it was supposed to... I mean, they had the whole thing about the 25th anniversary of Zelda.
Yeah. I don't think they showed off any
Zelda
titles on 3DS. Other than they might have shown off a new trailer for Ocarina of Time.
Didn't they show 3D? Some kind of like
pretty awesome.
Cooperability between the Wii U and the 3DS, like being able to play games across those platforms or something? Or
They didn't really talk about that, I don't think. There was somebody, you know how they
some catch, kind like, of correlation right after, somewhere.
Yeah, right after the, the presentation keynote, they catch some guy outside. Yeah, you were thinking about putting it with the 3DS. There was a quote somewhere, but no definite, nothing. There's nothing been confirmed.
Right.
There was definitely a loose, all the specs and all the what it works with and all that stuff. There's really not that much info.
Right.
Super Mario 3DS.
Yep.
So.
I tell you, I went to the local GameStop and I played. I saw the display there and I checked out that 3D thing. It's actually pretty cool.
I haven't tried it yet.
The 3D, you haven't seen it yet?
No.
I played a little bit of Zelda, the Zelda 3DS at PAX East, and it was nice.
Okay.
But the 3D thing, you can scale it.
I know you can scale it and turn completely off.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's the point if? I mean, the only other point to get a 3DS is that the games only work on a 3DS and not a regular DS.
You get that circle pad.
Yeah, that thing is pretty good. That's what's going to be on that Wii U.
Yeah.
Instead of a thumbstick, that circle pad thing that's pretty good. It works. It works like a thumbstick on an Xbox controller. A PlayStation. It's pretty good. It's got a good feel to it.
Okay. Interesting.
It's almost mouse-like.
Like what? One of those trackballs?
So, well, kind of like a trackpad-ish, but your finger doesn't slide all over the place.
I think that pretty much wraps up E3.
We did it. We exhausted E3.
Yes. You know what? And it's all doesn't mean shit.
And some.
Everything's going to change over the next couple of months. They just wanted to hear us talk about it on podcasts and shows and see the press reaction and test. It's our testing ground, and then they'll go back to the labs and they'll change all the things.
Well, I hope so. Because there's things that they need to change.
We're guinea pigs.
I hope that this is a learning experience for them.
I don't want to trust these shows anymore. I don't even want to do the shows.
I'm surprised we're just able to get two of these shows out in a week.
There was a lot to talk about, but...
Yeah, there's actually...
Well, the Halo stuff alone. I thought that's what we're really going to talk about all this time. Yeah. You got me talking about E3, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is good to get it out, though.
Right.
But I will never speak of it again after tonight. I'm done.
Until the next E3 next year.
We're not talking about it in the interview next week either.
That's fine. I don't care. We don't have to talk about E3 then. We have plenty of other things that we can talk about.
E3's over.
Yay. Yay. Okay. Well, any last comments before we close this out? I'm going to take the silence as a no.
Michael Jackson, The Experience 2. Coming out for Xbox Kinect.
I should have known Brent would do something like that.
Oh, man.
You still trying to get on Jerome's good side?
Jerome?
Yeah.
I guess so. I don't know how you can get on his good side, though. Like, what would make Jerome like you as a person?
You'd have to bring him a sacrifice of, like, grunts and elites, probably.
No. He seems like a pretty, like, I don't know. He's a docile kind of guy. Until you get him roused up, and then he'll beat you up. He'll take his grav hammer out.
What you doing, fool?
By now, I think that Peter Jackson workshop that makes all that Halo stuff actually made, like, a full-size hammer for Jerome, like a real weighted hammer.
Oh,
so
sure,
that when he hits people with it, it actually hurts. Like, he's like rupturing gallbladders and stuff out there. Hitting people.
Only if it actually emitted the gravity field that's supposed to in the game. That would be like, ow. Anyways, on that note, thank you guys for listening in to our E3 coverage, and which should kind of signify the start of our summer sessions of recording, and I guess if we keep this up, we'll end up doing maybe one or two a week.
Hopefully.
And maybe by the end of the summer, we'll be up and around the neck of the woods for episode 300.
Well, I hope so. I want to get to 300. This episode was pretty perverse, and I think it's because I've been, like, so off my game. Like, I haven't been podcasting lately.
Yeah, we all...
So a lot of F-bombs dropped.
Yeah. Nah.
But no, S-bombs...
Nothing new.
We always drop those, don't we?
Nothing new.
Yeah.
And only in the presence of people that like it. That don't care.
Well, that's me. I definitely don't care.
But, I mean, we will hopefully get back into the swing of things.
I want to get back into the swing of things. I want to get back into playing Halo, but nobody's ever online. Nobody ever wants to.
Well, once I actually have time to, and then I'm not driving 3 hours a day, I will.
All right.
Which will be after next week. I will be on more.
I miss Reach. I haven't played in a while myself.
I used to play for like challenges every day. I don't even do that anymore right now.
I just want to play.
Well, let's play after this recording, fool. Why don't we do that?
Is that a threat?
No, that was kind of me trying to do an epic mealtime thing. If you guys know what they are, group on YouTube.
Fail.
If you want the antidote, you will play matchmaking.
We should like.
Inside your arm is a key.
Try to set up events or something, maybe. That might be helpful.
Yeah.
All community like.
Yeah. Wait, we're a community? What?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice. Anyways, that wraps up the show. Thanks, guys.
Really? I thought it was over.
I thought we'd already cut. Oh, I didn't think we kind of cut yet.
He can cut it anywhere he wants.
It's cut. Bye, people.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Well, bye, everybody.